Good morning, and thank you for waiting. Please welcome to the teleconference for the earnings of the third quarter for the Grupo Mateus. We have Mr. Ilson Mateus, the director and founder, Mr. José Morgado, the financial director, and for investor relations. Junior Mateus is the technology officer and human resources chief. Ana Freire is the controller, and Sara Lise, the head of investor relations. We would like to inform you that during the company's presentation, all participants will only be able to listen to the call. We will then begin the Q&A session when further instructions will be given. In case you need any assistance during the conference, please request the operator's help by pressing star zero. We would also like to inform you that the conference call will be conducted in Portuguese by the company's management, and the English conference will have simultaneous translation. This event is also being broadcasted simultaneously on the internet through webcast. Before proceeding, we would like to mention that forward statements are based on the beliefs and assumptions of the Grupo Mateus management and on information currently available to the company. They involve, as well as information currently available for the company. Future considerations are not guarantees for performance, and they involve risks and uncertainties. These are related to future events and thus may depend on circumstances that could or not occur. The company decided to additionally disclose the information in the results presentation with the pro forma income statement for the period of the third quarter of 2019 from September 30th, 2019 on, as these statements provide to its readers the comparison of the Mateus Group's operations, considering the corporate structure established on June 30th, 2020, and continued until September 30th, 2020. These combined income statements as of September 30th, 2019, do not represent the financial statements of any of the entities that are part of the group on an isolated basis and should not be understood as a basis for the calculation of dividends, taxes, or any other corporate purposes, and are presented exclusively in the presentation and press release as pro forma and with the sole purpose of showing the combined results as if the entities mentioned under common control were only one entity, considering the same procedures used when preparing the consolidated financial statements and maintaining the historical operations that effectively occurred. Finally, in order to better describe the business economic scenario, the figures and the numbers on the income statement are presented without IFRS effects. Investors and analysts should understand that conditions related to macroeconomic conditions, industry, and other factors could also cause results to differ materially from those experienced in such forward-looking statements. I will now turn the conference over to the CEO. Please, Mr. Ilson Mateus, you may proceed. Good morning, everyone. I would like to highlight this very important moment for the history of our company. And to talk about this important moment, I would like to, first of all, thank God, because we have health at this moment, at this historical moment, and He has given us so many victories and achievements. I would like to thank our personnel, our employees, because in the past 34 years, they were working together with us, building this company, with a lot of work and determination. I would like to thank our employees that believe in our business and consume products from our stores. I would like to thank our suppliers that throughout the past 34 years have been really supporting our work and given us credit and helped us with its construction. I would also like to thank all investors that really bet on our business and believed in our work by investing and becoming part of this IPO process, providing us with a very promising future and providing us with the opportunity to have leveraging in our growth. I would like to also thank my family for having supported me throughout these 34 years, understanding my absence and my need for intense work. And now for agenda, I will talk about our history a bit. Many of you here listening to us probably already know about this, but I would like to talk about this a bit. I would like to also discuss the highlights in the third quarter, our financial performance, and finally, our growth avenues, which is definitely one of our most important points in this new journey that we're going on. Now, as we talk about our history, I would like to demonstrate our avenues for growth and this ladder. And we started off with a small grocery store that was 50 square meters, but in 1986, but we had a lot of economic difficulties and different phases in the Brazilian reality. But that's when we were able to start our first store in São Luís do Maranhão. And we had five stores growing a lot with a real big desire for growth and always taking a look at the vision of the potential for Maranhão and some neighboring states for our growth. And that's when we were gathered together with a company. We made a major effort. And then from 2003 to 2013, we had significant growth, even despite all of the challenges we had to face. We were able to build 30 stores, and this was a huge effort with support from our financial director, Morgado. We were very concerned at that time with our debt level and our leverage level and our cash flow because we saw so many opportunities up ahead and we knew we needed a lot of resources. So we set up a plan to not have to have short-term loans. And we started knocking on the doors of some bigger banks with the purpose of extending our debt term and maintaining our leverage rates always below one time our cash generation. And this is what provided us with the opportunity to reach 2013 with our performance. And so ever since then, we had many different stories. Each of these points has significant phases, intense work, sometimes many difficulties, happiness, sadness. But we were still able to build this company with a lot of desire, impetus, and energy. We would take a look at the North and Northeast, and we saw that there was a huge avenue for growth. We understood that we were reaching in the past 7 years, and we were able to conquer many new territories, new cities, sharing our business proposals and our methods for getting things done. And this is how we reached 2019 with an important structure, a lot greater than those first 10 years. From 2003 to 2013. And in 2019, we were able to really set up an expansion plan that was very strong, and which we were able to, in 12 months, make over 30 new stores. This was an important milestone for us. And then we reached 2020 with a significant, important milestone, which was the IPO process we went through. And then here I would like to really talk about this very, very important moment where we consolidated one more phase for the company. And this would help us take a look up ahead and see from what we have done in the past years, searching for more and more opportunities. And here on slide six, I want to talk about this important milestone for our company. It was a very unique moment for us. And now we can take a look at the full North and Northeast regions and see major opportunities based on what we are already doing and where we operate. And in the past years, we're visiting small and medium-sized cities and big cities as well. And we see that certainly we can take our business model and occupy a lot of white spaces in the next 10 years. Now, I want to show you some of the main pillars During the roadshow, I talked about these pillars that we really believe in. This is the basis for our structure, technology, logistics, services, and people. And these pillars really support all of these brands that are synergetic between themselves. And all of this helps us really provide services and quality to our customers, because customers are our main focus. All of this was created so that we could really have the necessary loyalty from our customers and customer satisfaction as well. Now I want to talk about logistics and services, and I want to show you an example of what we've always talked about in the past months, the fact that we are a logistics company that also happens to have stores. So we really were able to obtain many investments in the past years so that we could reach this point. As you can see here on the left side, we have our distribution center for dry goods. And this is very important because the logistical structure really supplies not only our wholesale operation, but also our stores. And I would also like to highlight services, which are our main differential as well for us. Throughout the years, we understood the need to be in a region that was very difficult, very distant and remote, and that made us have to create a different system. We had to create our own systems. We can offer really good butchery services in our cash and carry store, which is something very difficult in the region. We're able to also centralize our cold cuts and slicing cold cuts because we did not have the supply we required. We also centralized baking. And I've always been talking about the bakery industry, where we can have over 200 items in a cash and carry store. And we can have the ideal mix for an 800 square meter to 1,000 square meter store close to our industry and our this is the main differential. We centralize fruits and vegetables. This is another milestone. Our fish market as well. And we can have all of these services and now people. We have been working very strong to maintain culture and the way we do things with an ownership spirit. And we have a lot of employees that have been around for over 10, 20 years. And these are the people that really make our business and that are working together with me in this difficult, challenging journey. And now about technology. Technology is another very important area for us. And we're going to be talking about this up ahead. It's a major pillar. And just as everything in our life, we always had to plan ahead at least 5 years. So this is one of the main pillars we're going to be investing in the next years. Now, I would also like to talk about some highlights from the third quarter. And here on slide 10, as you can see, I would like to tell you about our growth. In the past quarter, we had significant growth. 3.9 billion gross revenue. And I would like to show you that in this slide that we had significant growth in our net income with an increase of 65%. And we also increased our percentage basis by 0.5%. So from 6 to 6.5%, which is another important increase for us and a big victory. And here I would like to end with this slide by talking about the business expansion. We had opened 8 stores in this quarter, and this expansion has really anchored and supported our business. And we have a lot to do up ahead. And we will be talking about this in the next quarters as we highlight expansions, launching new stores. And we've been prospecting a lot of new land for these new stores as well. Now I want to talk about the store openings that are within our multi-channel format. So you can see 8 stores that were opened with all of the different models. This is a huge victory for us to be able to open up 8 new stores in one quarter. And this has definitely given us the necessary strong structure. As I mentioned, in the past months, we always talked about providing a greater footprint, store footprint in our routes. And we really believe that we're working strongly in this in the next years. And so we've been seeing this in the next years in the North and Northeast with a major opportunity for growth. And I got on slide 12, there's a sample of our growth as well. As you can see, we have 53%, which is a very unique result. And I would also like to show you a sample here of the month of October. 55%, which is very important, and we're already taking a look at the future, which has significant growth, and we're going to be talking about this in the next months as well. And we have a lot of questions still about this, but this is very much anchored in our structure and strategy for opening up new stores and maturity. Since we're working the strong growth, we in the next years will have not only the growth of the new stores, but we'll also be anchored in stores that are going to be reaching maturity as well. Now here on slide 13, I would also like to show you a sample of what our growth is per state. So we have an average here on this slide. And I wanted to reinforce that this does not include our wholesale external sales with our commercial reps. But even so, we have a significant growth in Maranhão, which is the state that has already reached maturity. But even so, we still have 48% growth still. And in Pará, where we are really accelerating our operation, and we have many, many cities where we need open stores, and still we have already reached 65% growth. Now, I'm not showing you Piauí here yet because still don't have a comparison for this, but in the next quarters, we will also show you significant growth in Piauí. Now, I would like to show you that we are really working on expanding the North and Northeast, and we see major opportunities. We're already opening up in new states as well. And we're studying how our growth will take place in the next 10 years with our feet on the ground, performing studies and creating strategies for greater density and a greater footprint, and what's the best and cheapest logistical structure. We've following the same model that we've really done in the states we're already operating in. First, the first thing we do is really set up the density and the study of the actual logistical structure, which is the most important point for us. Now, I would like to talk about the gross revenue evolution per format. We are a multi-channel company, as I mentioned, and so in retail, we grew 33%. In our cash and carry, we grew 66%. In our wholesale external sales, 31%. And now I would like to move on to our financial performance. So I will pass the word on to our financial director, Mr. Morgado, because he will be talking to you about the numbers. Thank you very much, Matheus. Good morning, everyone. And I would also like to thank you for participating in this teleconference and our earnings call for the third quarter of 2020. Well, before we see a detailed presentation of the financial demonstrations and statements, it's important to highlight that this does not consider the IFRS 16 effect, and that the numbers related to 2019 find a combined method to facilitate the comparability. Thus, as Matheus mentioned previously, the net revenue had 52% growth in the quarter, reaching 3.6 billion reais. On the other hand, the gross revenue went to 838 million reais, which represents a 34% increase compared to the 624 million of the same quarter in the previous year. When it comes to gross margins, we verified pressure of 3 percentage points in regards to the third quarter of 2019. Due to the product mix sold, especially in the cash and carry business, with the greatest share reflecting on the Grupo Matheus birthday celebrations in the month of August. And moving on to the next line, we have the administrative, general, and commercial expenses that represent growth of 27% as a fruit of the expansion of 36 new stores. On the other hand, as a percentage towards the revenue, the expenses dropped 3 percentage points, and now they represent 15.6%. The reduction is the fruit of the strategy to control expenses and increase productivity in the logistical structure and administrative structure, diluting operational expenses for the group. We really believe in the centralization and synergies of the operations in different channels and in the capacity to provide a greater footprint in each route with stores, which proved to be a success. Now, the adjusted EBITDA, considering the provisions and costs with the IPO, reached 324 million reais and an EBITDA margin of 8.9%, which can be translated into growth of 60 percentage points compared to the same previous period. The effects that most contributed to the growth of the EBITDA were the strong expansion and maturity of stores, with a dilution of expenses and an increase in the profitability. However, the negative financial results of 36 million reais represent an increase of 11% compared to the same period in last year. The increase is caused mainly by the interest rates and the loans, and we will provide you details about a strategy to reduce our debt level. Finally, the net profit had an increment of 65%, reaching a total of 235 million in the third quarter of 2020. An accumulated amount, we've already reached 532 million reais compared to 326 million in the same period last year. We would end this demonstration results. Now we will move on to slide 17, where we have the numbers for the investments performed in the third quarter. Overall, the expenses represent 303% compared to the same period of last year. You can see that this incremental investment level is in line with our expansion plan that is continued to be even more accelerated. Besides this, there was a need to invest in infrastructure with an expansion of the bread industry and the distribution center to support the growth of the demand and also maintain the delivery of services with a high quality level. Supporting the strategy disclosed in the IPO, the investments in the expansion plan are still accelerated with the opening of new stores. And with this, we will end this topic on investments, moving on to slide 18, where you can see a better understanding of the debt structure in the group. So, as you can see, in the end of September of 2020, the net debt had an increase of 10% compared to the same period in the last year, reaching 488 million reais. This variation is due to the increase of the gross debt and moving towards the acceleration for investments in the group. At the same time, we also increased our cash level by 811 million reais, which represents puts us in a very good level of liquidity as well. And Grupo Mateus has a history of strong discipline towards the debt level structure, which has also been referenced by the rating agencies various times. And the net debt adjusted EBITDA was 0.57 times, and our leverage level is even lower than the period of 2019. Now, moving on to the pizza graph right below, you can see the information of the full debt. You can see most of it is working capital, 30%, and debentures represent 37%. Now we can also see the bar graph on the side where you can see that the horizon for the amortization of the debt most is concentrated between 2020 and 2022, with the values dropping gradually throughout the years. And finally, in the board meeting today that took place, we should have the payment up until December 2020 of the loans for the leasing and Finame with the banks. And this decision-making process was based on the following pillars: high liquidity of the company, as well, especially after the IPO, the cost of the debt, and the expansion plan of the group. Thus, I would like to finish my part, and I would pass the word back to Matheus for his final comments. Thank you very much. Well, as you can see here, in the last 12 months, we have been opening 36 stores. As you can see on this slide, you have the different quarters and the opening of store formats. And we have, in the next 6 months, we have another 26 stores to be opened, 23 stores, sorry, to be opened in the next 6 months. We are buying a lot of land. In the past 3 months, we have already bought the land for 21 and 22 and part of 2023. And I would also like to start negotiating by the beginning of next year for 2023 and 2024, so we can really leave our expansion plan very well consolidated. And we have 5 stores, 9 stores that are already being deployed, and 9 shops are being they're working on the finishing. And this is significant, strong growth, so that in the next year we can have a growth that's really anchored not only opening new stores, but because we plan to open another 25 or 30 stores per year. And sometimes people ask me, but okay, why did you open 36? Now you're going to open 25 to 30. No, because we are very concerned with training people and really maintaining our culture. So we have a very strong and intense training program for and a lot of growth in our human resources. And if we can open more, we will, but our concern is to really maintain our culture and our way of doing things. And then here I show you all of the investments that are being done, which are really going to support our business as a whole. So I always highlighted that we are a logistics company that also has stores. And here we will not only increase our physical store sales, but also our e-commerce and online sales, because we want to be really strong in this. We know that the food sector has very significant difficulties, and we are preparing because the most important part we are already doing. So you can see that we have a bakery industry, which is a main pillar. You can see that the construction work is quite accelerated. We plan to launch this by the second semester of next year, and this will give us a big upgrade. And also for our we're going to leave for 12 tons per day production to 5 tons per hour. So, and our director caring for this is already setting up a sales team so that we can also work with all of the small bakeries in the region and convenience stores. We really want to start up partnerships. So we want to increase the sales of our bakery industry by 10 times in the next years. And then here to support also our operation, we are setting up a new supply center for fruits and vegetables, which is really going to support our new store openings. And this will also help us because it will reduce costs and will give us a greater sales volumes for all of these stores that we're going to be opening. Our distribution center in Pará also gives us, we can see an overview here with 40,000 square meters in the first stage. And we're already preparing a project to have an automation of all of our distribution centers. We're starting off with 10,000 square meters in Belém, because we could already start off with all the equipment for automation, but we don't have enough time because this equipment will take about a year and a half for us to implement. So that's why we already set up 40,000 square meters. But we will have the operation beginning in the first semester of next year. But with this 10,000 square meter phase, we're going to double this inventory capacity, and we're going to have 70,000 pallet positions with this phase. So with this, we can consolidate our operation in Pará with all of our logistics in the state for dry goods. And in this complex, we can also have an area for cold cuts and also for the bakery production and fruits and vegetables. And this construction work should be completed by the first semester of 2021. We also have the expansion of our distribution center here. We just launched the second phase of this, and we are already working on the third phase for 20,000 square meters next year, and the next phase, which is also 10,000 square meters with a trans elevator and with all the equipment that we're importing from Germany, that should be over 200,000, 200 million reais, and this will help us handle materials and equipment. We'll be able to handle pallets, and we won't need to have so much labor. So here I would also show you our distribution center for cold cuts in Imperatriz. It's already complete, and all of our demand would come from São Luís, but we had really high freight costs. But now with this new unit that has 9,600 pallet positions, we will be able to reduce our costs significantly with freight and really leverage our logistics, because in the south of the state we're opening a lot of new stores. So with everything I'm showing you here, you can see that we're really going to reduce our operational costs that our financial director was talking about, and consequently we will be able to have better EBITDA. Finally, here in the slide 22, to finish up our presentation, I would like to say that we are working intensely here. We have two main pillars, which are the reason why we've been investing so much, because we really believe in this and our logistics are prepared. We will be opening a new route, and we will provide greater density with our store footprint to really facilitate the delivery of digital. And the idea is that we will be able to have a robust hiring process with this team to give us even more speed, and we'll have a lot of new features in the next months. Financial services are another very important pillar for us. Currently, our results are very limited, but we are really investing a lot in this area, setting up a very strong team. We have committees actively working, and we also hope that in next year we'll be able to demonstrate results in this area as well. Well, now as we talk about, we finished our presentation now, and now I would like to thank you all. Now we can begin the questions and answers. Thank you. Now we will begin the session for Q&A. If you have any questions, please press star one on your touch phone at this or at any moment. If at any moment your question is answered, please select star two to leave from the queue. The questions will be taken in the order they are received. We do ask that when you pose your question, that you pick up your phone from the handset to provide optimum sound quality. Please hold while we collect questions. Our first question comes from Mr. Ruben Couto from Santander. Good morning. We saw significant growth in all of the store brands, but could you please talk about the trends for sales in October, November? Is it really keeping the same level as we had in the third quarter? And if you have already noticed some effect, the reduction of the Corona voucher, can you talk about these trends, please? That would be very good. Well, we are pretty much at ease with the growth level. As we mentioned, we have many stores that are going to be opened as well, but the growth, even the same stores, sales is pretty good, and we are very confident that we will have the best quarter in our history now. And we're also really betting on 2021. Once again, being a little repetitive here, but we'll have a lot of stores reaching maturity and a lot of stores being opened as well in new cities, in cities where we have new sources of revenue and sales, and this is extremely important to us. Okay, and if you could just a quick follow-up on this, especially about the service line, was this impacted with an increase of has the growth of service sales been impacted during the pandemic, or is that pretty much in line with the rest of the store aspects? Well, if you could please repeat that a little slower because the sound was not so good, so I wasn't hearing you very well. Of course, I'm so sorry. Can you hear me now? Yes, it got a little better. I would like to hear a little more about the service line performance and if, due to the pandemic, this has been impacted with limitations of customer flows and time in the store, if the service area has been impacted specifically in this third quarter, if there was any correlation with the rest of the growth in the stores or not. Are you talking about financial services or are you talking about day-to-day services in the store? No, everything's pretty at ease. This has helped us a lot because we have a delivery app also that really helped to access people that didn't want to visit the store. They can buy through our app, and this has grown a lot more as well. We see major a flow even above normal and a big customer flow. Now we have some many stores in countryside cities where people actually prefer going to the store, and we have very low app consumption, so we have strong growth and the search for this kind of services, and this is our main differential. So we can reach with perishable good qualities in all of the cities where we operate due to the centralization. So we can have fruits and vegetables in a city 450 meters, 450,000 meters from. So we have visits every 3 or 4 times a week with fresh products. So we're really a differential in all of the cities with perishable goods. Thank you. That's very clear. Our next question comes from Daniela Anger from XP Investimentos. Good morning, Mr. Ilson and team. Congratulations for the results. First of all, it's the first disclosure after the IPO. So my question is pretty much a follow-up of the performance in October. Could you talk about how the trend took place in each of the store formats? In the Eletro, we've seen significant performance, especially with a repressed demand issue. And we also saw that in regards to the mix, the cottage cash and carries, seeing the impact of the reduction of the Corona voucher since September, October, now the beginning of November. And another question is understanding what the company's strategy for Black Friday and what you guys are doing to prepare for this moment. Thank you very much. Well, in regards to Eletro, as you've seen in the documents, we had significant concentration after the store opening, and then in the month of October, we were still able to have very good results of 59% because with we have a normalization already, and so we believe that the growth now will reach a normal level. And now about cash and carry, we've had significant growth. As you can see in October, we've had performance that's even better. And we believe that we're going to have a lot of new store openings for cash and carry. And we will also have many cash and carry stores reaching maturity. And our strategy for Black Friday is that we are prepared and we are planning for Black Friday ever since the beginning of the year. We have a lot of inventory, and we've really performed a lot of agreements with the industry, with all of the different product categories, electro, food, cosmetics. If we want to have a significant Black Friday operation, we're very much prepared for this, and we are betting on this last quarter of this year so that we can really make a huge difference. Thank you very much. That's great. And congratulations once again for your results. Thank you, Daniela. Our next question will come from Daniela Bresch from Eleven. Good morning, everyone. Congratulations for your IPO and the first earnings call. It's very strong. I would like to go back to the first question that was made about the performance in the third quarter. were you able to identify, well, actually 2 points I wanted to ask you to maybe separate a bit. First of all, you had the anniversary campaign, the birthday party campaign in August. And I don't know how much that contributed to the increase in sales. And the second is if you've noticed some positive impacts with the Corona voucher and the performance of sales throughout the quarter. I will ask José to give you this number. And the effect, if I have more special sales, it's pretty regular. So if you have more special sales, you have pretty much the same percentage. So, but it's always proportional and it's pretty much the same. So we see some normality in this average percentage. So we're pretty much at ease because you can see that even in October, we already had a reduction in the voucher and we're still able to have very significant performance. José just gave me this information. There is an effect of 500 million above, right? So 52%. Yeah, so the impact is 500 million, Daniel. Do you believe that this is in regards to the birthday campaign compared to the previous year? How do you think that was happening? And also thinking about the specific anniversary, because that's something you're going to have every year, right, in August. But since we did not have the base, I just wanted to explore a bit of this and how the birthday campaign for Grupo Mateos took place. I will now pass this on to Anna so she can give you a more precise explanation. Hello, Daniela. Good morning. Actually, this year, due to the coronavirus, we had a special action. We extended the special sales day. Last year, we only had one day, and this year, we had 3 days. And throughout the entire month of August, we had like special sales. So we noticed that there was people that wouldn't go to our stores before because they were very full, and they participated in this special sale this year. So it was a learning process for us as well, and I believe that in the next years we will have the same kind of model as well. Yes, that's exactly what I wanted to explore, because I believe that this is an example that could even be applicable to the Black Friday. Yes, it's already being applied with the same model. Yeah, a Black Friday will be 3 days as well. And our marketing guy here is saying that we're going to have another three days for Black Friday, so it should go over the results of last year as well. And my second question, if possible, is in the board meeting, you talked about the decision of selling, paying off some debts for leasing and Finami. But I'm a bit questioning this because this amount is about 295 million. But in the slide here on the presentation, slide 18, you guys mentioned that the amortization for 2020 is 346 million. So I'm kind of questioning how much actually you plan to pay, if it's the 295 or it's the 246. I will pass it on to Morgano. Daniela, actually, this amount that we are estimated already exclude. We have a timeline, a time frame, also including short-term debts for 2022 balance. And you can see that the amount reaches 800 million reais, close to 800 million reais, and this is the amount that we committed to reduce till December. I was unsure if it was just the Finami and leasing area or if that would also include more. So thank you very much. Okay, thank you very much. And once again, congratulations. Thank you, Daniela. Our next question comes from Mr. Luis Vanais from BTG Pactual. Good morning, everyone. I have a question, Matheus. You talked about the Corona voucher effect and some store expansions as well. Could you maybe talk about competitive scenarios in these cities where you've opened up new stores, how the smaller players have performed, and how this affected your wholesale external sales and also for the expansion of the retail stores? Great question, Luis. And we are pretty much at ease because in the cities where we are opening up new stores and we have local competitors, we have been able to reach results above what we expected. So we have cities that have like 50, 60,000 inhabitants. And for us, this will certainly be a main strong point for us. With all of the structure we're able to create, we are arriving with services. And sometimes the cities don't have structure, and we have a full store with all of these services, and that makes a huge difference. And we're going to notice this a lot in many cities. We still have a lot of cities like this to open up stores in, and we will see that gradually, together with our reduction in costs and our structure for logistics, and we'll see our results really increase a lot. Great. That's very excellent. Thank you, Matheus. Thank you. Now we will have some questions from the webcast. We received a question from Miguel from Compass about the increase of the PDV. And the question actually, the answer for this question we actually included in our press release is that we revisited the procedures for the criteria for PDD, and we're following even the same criteria adopted by the market as a whole. And we had an additional provision of 15 million reais, and so this is the effect of the PDD already reflected for the year, reaching a total amount of 20 million. This was the question that came. But we also have another question from Hena Ulysses, and he said that due to the tax benefits and ICMS benefits, does the company have some restriction in regards to the use of profits with the payment of dividends? Anna will help us with this question. Thank you, Hannah. The benefits do not limit the payment of dividends. They just make these have to be taxed. So this tax exemption is related to committing to reinvesting in the company. If you do not reinvest, then they'll be taxed normally. Operator, I would like to remind you that to have any questions, you have to press star one on your phone. If at any moment your question was answered already, please select star two. Please wait while we collect the questions. We have received another question as well from webcast about the expansion of Grupo Mateus in Tocantins. We are already foreseeing a store opening in the city of Araguaína in Tocantins. Operator, we would like to remind you that to be able to present your question, please select star one on your phone. Please wait while we collect the questions. Thank you very much. I would like to pass on the word to Mr. Wilson for his last comment. Mr. Wilson, you may proceed with your final comments. I'd like to thank you all for participating in this first earnings call, and we are available if you have any additional questions. We're starting a new phase in the Grupo Mateus. This would not be possible without the support of everyone that is part of our story. So I would like to all thank you for having participating directly and indirectly in our results. some sleepless nights, but really a major effort from our team to reach these results. Thank you, Brazil. Thank you, everyone that really believe in our work. Once again, I would like to reinforce my commitment to work intensely and strongly and seriously to be able to retribute all of the trust you deposited on us. Thank you very much. The teleconference for Grupo Mateus is now ended. Thank you very much for your participation, everyone. You may disconnect your phone lines, and please have a great day.